Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 25, we'll read verses 14 through 18. I'll start in verse 14, and if you'll join me on the odd numbered verses, we'll read responsibly down through the 18th verse. Matthew 25, 14 through 18. If you'll stand with me and begin in verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come. Father, we ask that you please bless in the service. Be a part of all that's said. Pray that you please give preacher clarity of mind. Help him as he's speaking. Pray, Lord, that you have him to say the words that you want him to say. Help us to open our hearts and, Lord, receive what you have for us. Bless in the service. Bless the special music and then the preaching. Follow in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So much. All right, we're going to preach from Matthew 25 tonight, and I have entitled this message, A Socialist's Nightmare. A Socialist's Nightmare. So when we pray, if you're a socialist, you might want to slip out, amen, unless you like having a nightmare, all right? So let's talk about this tonight, A Socialist's Nightmare. Different type message tonight. This is an FYI. This won't be a terribly, I don't think, convicting message, as I want to plant deep-rooted truths in our young people's hearts and minds about the truth, the biblical truth about economics. Biblical truth about economics. So it's called a socialist nightmare. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight. Help me. Thank you for your word. Makes things and puts things so clearly for us. And Lord, help us to learn tonight. I would suppose, Lord, that most of the men and women in this room would understand these principles already. May they be grasped by the younger generation especially and held tightly for the future, I pray. And Lord, be with us tonight as we preach your word. I ask in Christ's name and amen. Have you ever heard the term fiscal cliff? I'm being facetious, all right? I am being a bit sarcastic there. Yes, you've heard the term fiscal cliff. And, you know, if we had a nickel for every time we'd heard the term, well, you can finish this, you know, if we had a nickel for every time we'd heard it, we'd all be millionaires by now. And that is the truth. I was amazed at all the blather. You knew they would get something done. You knew that would happen. But that gave the news media something to do for a while, I suppose. And it took their attention off of some of the things that should have been covered, for sure. But in the middle of all the bluster about the fiscal cliff, from out of nowhere comes a request for a bill that would grant $50 billion, $50.7 billion for those that were affected by Hurricane Sandy. Now, you know, I'm not against helping people that have had a hard time. $50 billion. I think it was 60 at the beginning. And I think now it's like $50.7 billion. And I'm scratching my head saying, where are you going to find $50 billion in this economy? I don't know where you're going to find that, but where you're going to find that kind of money. So anyway, that's where we are. I am preaching tonight for the well-being of our young people. Although everybody can benefit from biblical truth, I want our young people to be, I want them to understand and know from the Bible about all matters of life, and economics would be involved, especially with the barrage of unbiblical blather that's out there today. Okay? It is no secret our government is promoting a socialist agenda economically. That's no secret. All right? They're promoting that. There's no doubt about it. And the news media is on board with them. Okay? The news media and them, they're at the dance together. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not sure that it can be reversed or changed. Just outside of a miracle of God. I'm not sure that it can be reversed or changed. I think if they tried to reverse it, there'd be a riot. I caught a little news clip. I didn't have time to read it all in its entirety. But they had some kind of Section 8 housing thing to give away this past week in Detroit. They had a riot. Broke out into a riot. Fighting and all kind of nonsense. And if the government ever took away the handouts, that's when you're going to need your gun, see? I don't know if it can be reversed. But you young people do not have to grow up with a socialist mindset. You don't have to. You can grow up knowing what the Bible teaches about a capitalistic, free market economic system. And I don't have the time tonight. I'm not going to take, I guess I do if I wanted to, but I'm not going to take the time to define both a free market economic system and a socialist system. But I'll just tell you this, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. And everywhere in the history of the world where they've tried socialism, it's failed. And people are far worse off than they are in free market capitalistic type economic systems. And right here in this free market capitalistic system is on display for us right here in Matthew chapter 25. And so let's look at a few verses tonight. I don't know that this is going to take forever to get through, but I want to make some points and draw out some truths here. And we'll go to the house, your house. Somebody said last week, I said that a few weeks ago. Somebody said, what kind of sandwiches are we having at your house? I said, well, if you all come to my house, we'll give you a good dose of peanut butter, all right, or whatever. But anyway, verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The man traveling into a far country is Christ. He left this earth and he traveled back to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God now. Before leaving, he called to him his servants and he distributed to them his worldly goods. Do you see that in verse number 14 there? Delivered unto them his goods. Let me just say, by way of getting into this thing, a reminder to everybody here, not just the young people, everything we have comes from God, and everything we have belongs to God. Our lives, our body, our soul, our spirit, every ability, every material possession, everything we have, it all comes from the hand of our Creator. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God owns it all. And I still say, to me, the most clear case of that in the entire Bible is when God gave everything that belonged to Job to Satan. Gave it all to him. And if, in fact, if God hadn't put that hedge around Job and Mrs. Job, Satan would have taken them too. He said, you can have everything that he has, just don't touch him. And when he said, don't touch, boy, ladies, you're talking about a great lesson in being under the proper authority of your husband. He did not specifically say, don't touch his wife. But when he said, you can't touch Job, since Mrs. Job was under the canopy of her husband's authority, she was protected. Amen. That's right. So she was protected, and he took everything. Now, again, I've said before, if I can walk over here and take something that belongs to Brother Hall and give it to Brother Eli McDonald down here, I can take it from him and give it to him. It didn't really, and I have the authority and the power to do that. It didn't really belong to him to begin with. It belonged to me. If I didn't have the authority and power to do that, he'd throw a fit. You're not going to give my stuff away. But you know, that's how it is with God. God owns it all. Everything we have comes from God, and everything we have belongs to God. And this is one fundamental truth we can't afford to lose sight of. To keep this straight in our thinking will help us in more ways than I have time to talk about tonight. It'll keep you from getting bitter if you do lose something. If in your mind, if you lose your job and lose your house and lose a vehicle, and God forbid if you were to lose a relative. But in your heart, you knew and were convinced that everything I have belongs to God. It's not that you wouldn't sorrow. Of course we'd sorrow. Especially if it was a person. But we wouldn't grow bitter. Because we realized that they belonged to God to begin with. This is so vital. It doesn't mean that we are careless. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of things that are in our possession, if you let me use that word tonight. In fact, it does mean that we plan and we're careful, and because it is the Lord's. It belongs to God. So everything we have comes from God and belongs to God. And this is what Christ did before he left to go back to the earth. The Bible says he distributed, he delivered unto them his good. Now, his goods. Now, look at verse number 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, the master's goods, you see in verse number 14, it's called his goods. In verse number 15, those goods are referred to as talents. They're called talents. Now, in Bible days, a talent was a measure of currency, just like our dollars and coins are today. Okay? It's a measure of our currency. That's what a talent was in Bible days. Now, in our vernacular, many times, a talent has come to mean ability. You know, we talk about somebody with talent, and we mean they have above normal ability. But I believe the main teaching here in this passage, this parable, is about money, because a talent was a measure of money. In fact, I looked quickly, perusing through it real quick this morning, real early this morning, and I don't believe you'll find the word talent anywhere in the Bible referring to ability. I don't think. What I saw, every time the word talent was used, old talent or talents, every time it's used in the Bible, it was referring to a sum of money, a measurement of money. So that's what we have here in verse number 15. We have a measure of currency, okay? The talents is a measure of currency. Now, the master decided how many talents to give each servant. The master, and he gave 5 talents to one, two talents to another and one talent to one guy. He decided that. Do you know what that's called, friend? That's called sovereignty. We serve a sovereign God. That's called sovereignty. God does what He wants, as He wants, how He wants, when He wants, for no other reason than that He is God. Now, and by the way, you say that's a dangerous thing. Oh, it's absolutely not. Wait a minute. It's dangerous if sovereignty is in the hand of a man. Sovereignty in the hand of in the possession of an individual, a mere man, is a dangerous thing. Illustration, Adolf Hitler. Okay? Because men are wicked. And the best of men are men at best. But wait a minute, friend. We're not talking about a mere mortal. We're not talking about men. We're talking about Almighty God. And He is sovereign. And there is no danger in that because God is holy. God is pure. God is good. God is merciful. He's gracious. He's right. And He's just. And He can make no mistakes. So sovereignty in His hand is a perfect thing. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. And He gave to every man according to his several ability. He gave a different amount of talents to each person according to their ability. And in this passage, according to their ability with money. Now, if you've lived for any amount of time at all, you know that money in the hand of one person is a completely different thing than money in the hand of another person. Some people can't hold on to a dime. Can't hang on to a dime. Other people, you give them a dollar and it seems like in 3 weeks they got 20. Just happens. Now, it didn't just happen accidentally. But every man has a different ability when it comes to how he can work with money. And so He gave to one man five talents, five measures of currency, because God knew, Christ knew, He can handle this. I'm confident He can multitask, He can manage, He can organize, He can save, He can invest and make money with money. And so He gave him five talents. To another man, He gave him two talents. He has some ability with money as well. He can handle money. He's got some organizational skills and some vision. And so He gave him two talents. And then here's this third man, and He gave him one measure of currency. One talent. And maybe a little less confident, not sure how he'll do with it, a little unproven, if you will. But He gave him something to work with. Everybody got something to work with. Everybody did. Every man got some measure of talent, some talent, some measure of currency. Okay? All do. Now look, folks, right from the beginning, it is obvious that some people have more than others. And you need to be okay with that. That's the problem in our country today. Our government's not okay with that. And the news media is just playing the fiddle for them. But as God's people, we better be squared away on this thing. The very first thing we learn here almost in this passage, in this story, is that some people have more than others. That's what a free market economy produces. Not everybody has the same amount. That's true about this church. That's true about this community. It's been true about our nation for over 200 years. That's how it works. Some are not going to have as much as others. Now, that's not what the socialists want. This is what I'm saying. This is the socialist nightmare. Everybody, you mean not everybody has the same? No. Not everybody has the same. Oh, we got to do something about that. No, we don't. It's just the way it is. It's the way a free market economy works. Some people have more. Some people have this much. And some people have this much. And some people have this much. And they say, that can't happen. And they want everybody to have the same. And that's what our government is attempting to create, a society where everybody has the same. But that's not capitalism. And that's not Bible principle. Everybody does not have the same. And get it out of your mind that the person who has more is bad. That's what the media wants you to believe. Now, some of us are a little older. We understand. We can listen to that and say, pfft. But some of you younger people, your minds are still formulating about things and you're simple. Not that you're mentally handicapped. That's not what the Bible word simple means. The Bible word simple means that you're still formulating your knowledge and your opinions and your theories from the Word of God. You're still being taught. There's room for influence. And you drive down the road and you have the news on, or you watch the Fox radio comment, or you hear somebody on CBS or something talk about how, or somebody in the media talk about how that somebody who has money is evil. Somebody who has money is dangerous. Somebody who has money is up to no good. And if you're not careful, you'll start believing that's a lie. Not everybody that has money is bad. Some people who have money are bad. Some people who have no money are bad. Not all people who have more are bad. Not all people with wealth are bad. And if you stop and think about it, you look back over the course of the history of our country, the truth is the generosity of wealthy people has made possible many types of enjoyments and opportunities for people with less. Now, I understand you got the greedy guys. But there have been some wealthy people who've been very generous. Do you know, because of their generosity, we have sometimes schools, museums, parks, hospitals, medical facilities. Because some person with an enormous amount of money was generous and gave it away, established some foundation, did something, and it comes down to where it benefits those of us that don't have as much as he does. That's the truth. So you got to get it out of your mind that everybody that has money is wicked and bad. Large sums of money make some very wonderful things possible for people with less. And that's what our government either doesn't want to understand. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that they don't understand it. I think they understand how socialism works. The money ends up in the hands of a few. And they want to be part of that few. Now, listen, this is a simple thing. Here's this fella, and he's got 5 talents worth right here. And he's got 5 measures of money. And you know, he has vision, and he has organization, and he has skill, and he has all these things. He has a very creative mind. And he figures out a way where with his 5 measures of money, he can put a business together that will create and make automobiles. And he takes his money and he invests it in machines and equipment and all kinds of tools and so forth. And he hires a labor force and he puts them to work and they start producing automobiles. And it's a wonderful thing. And his money is at work. He's watching his money work. And the automobiles are rolling out of the factory. You know, one day he decides, you know what? It's taking too much time here from my business to make steering wheels. I don't want to make steering wheels here. He finds a guy out here. He's a 2-talent measure money fella. He has about a 2-talent sum. And he started a little business. He's not making cars, but he's making steering wheels. And because this 5-measure money man has established a business that has a demand for steering wheels, he contracts with this guy. He has vision. He has organization. He didn't have as much to begin with. He didn't have as much capital to begin with as this guy did. His company is much smaller, but they're turning out steering wheels. And this guy contracts with this guy for steering wheels. This guy has benefited from this man's business acumen. Right? And this 2-talent man, he's seen, boy, man, alive. Since I've contracted with this 5-talent guy over here who's turning out automobiles, he needs my steering wheels. I got to buy a machine, and I got to hire a couple extra guys. And so he buys a machine, and he hires a one-talent measure of money man to come in and run that machine. That does not mean, the 1-talent does not mean that that guy is any less of a man, any less of an individual. It means that's what he has. And he comes in and he goes to work on that machine. In fact, he works hard and he looks at that machine and says, you know what, boss, I think we could make this do better than what it's doing if we changed this and made this modification and had this little bit, this little thing changed on this machine. I believe it would change. It would just absolutely multiply the number of steering wheels that we can make. And so the boss takes him up on it. They make the modifications. Now they're turning out more steering wheels in a shorter amount of time. And man, they're sending those things off. And that guy, boss says, you know what, man, that was a great idea. Let me give you a raise. And that guy's business acumen has benefited the guy who runs the machine, and the business acumen of the guy who has the car company has benefited the guy who runs the steering wheel factory and the guy who runs the machine. And that's exactly how a free market capitalistic system, economic system works. For lack of a better term, Ronald Reagan called it trickle-down economics. Ronald Reagan is a cuss word in most schools and universities nowadays. And I don't think Ronald Reagan was a saved, maybe he was a saved man, I don't know. But I know this, he was squared away on economics. And you young people, you need to understand, do you know what, when the day comes that this five-talent man has everything taken from him because of government restrictions and government regulations and taxes, you jumped on the bandwagon. That's right, man. He doesn't need all that money. We done all be the... You're going to rue the day you jump on that bandwagon. Rue the day you jump on that bandwagon. Absolutely. That's not fair. They all should make the same. Everybody should have the same. That's what the socialist in our day says. It's common for the one talent person to say, you five talent person, you've had it long enough. It's my turn to have five talents. That's what they're saying. You've had it long enough. It's my turn. It's the five-talent man's money that creates a demand for the two-talent man's money and product that allows him to create a demand for the one-talent man's labor and money. Not everybody has the same amount of money. That's a law. Just accept it. Not everybody has the same amount of money. And that's how Christ distributed it. This one has got five measures. This is going to get two. Now, wait a minute. Not everybody has the same amount of money, but everybody has the opportunity to increase. That's what he says. Look at verse number 16. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. He took the five measures of money and he invested it into other business and he made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. Now look this, they invested as they pleased. There is no government officials showing up here confiscating their money in the name of economic fairness. And that's the word fair, 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 fair. Nothing is fair. Fair, fair, fair. Nobody to tax them to the point that they had nothing left to invest. They were free. They were not under regulatory controls. They were free to invest that sum of money as they saw fit. There was no restrictions, no regulations. And he made, socialist nightmare, 100% profit. And that's the socialist nightmare. Profit, no. He made 100% profit. He started with five, now he's got 10. That's 100% increase. And then the guy had two, he's got four. That's 100% increase. And you talk about the socialist nightmare. When the master returned, he praised them for making 100% profit. Boy, the socialists would run, the dead socialists would turn it over in their grave right now. He praised him. Good job. Way to go, man. That's brilliant. That's tremendous. Oh, not in our society.
They made profit. They made $20, $20 million profit. They made $10 million profit. Profit, 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 profit. Profit's a bad thing. Profit's a negative thing. That's the media mindset. It's a far cry from what the Bible's, what this guy's mindset was. You mean you took $100 and you made another $100? Way to go. You mean you started with $10 million and now you made $20? Hey, that's wonderful. That's what that book teaches right there. I look out here and I, some of you hanging your heads because you don't like it. You bought into the media blather. The profit is a bad thing. You know, sometimes folks, it looks, you know, with the way the news media presents it, this, you know, this company made 100%. Have you checked to see? Have you ever analyzed? Have you ever studied and really looked at how many people are working because they made a profit? Well, I know so and so. Yeah, that's always going to be. There's always going to be a greedy guy. Or 10 or 20. That's it. But profit is not a bad thing. Now, the media wants you young people to think, grow up with mush in your head. And by the way, I've not listened to Rush Limbaugh to get the text for my sermon tonight, get material for my message. I don't need Rush Limbaugh. I've got a Bible right here. So I don't know what he's been saying. All I know is the man made 100% profit and the Lord praised him. Somebody makes 100% profit in this day and age and the media crucifies him. So you tell me what you want, which bandwagon you're going to jump on. So he makes 100% profit. Now, not only does he praise these two, but he, socialist nightmare, he rewards them. Look at what he says. Look at what he says in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So he rewards him. He praises him, and then he rewards him. Look at verse 23. After the two-talent man came, I've got 100% profit, Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. He rewards him. Poor socialists. It's a nightmare for them, isn't it? Absolute nightmare. Then we come in verse number 24 to man number 3. You think the socialist has had a hard time so far? He's about to have a cow right now. Because he comes to man number 3 in verse number 24 here. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, oh, this is quite a saying here, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Did you see what he said? He put all the blame for not having any profit on the master. I know you're a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you haven't strawed, and I don't get paid enough, and these guys make all the money, these guys sitting in the offices up here, they make all the money, and I don't... Folks, if you only get a dollar, if you want to, and you work at it, you can turn that into $2. He blamed the master. He pictured his master as severe and unreasonable. You're a hard man. I'm scratching my head. I'm thinking to myself, did the other two men have the same master? And they didn't picture him as severe and unreasonable. But the man who has nothing oftentimes blames others for his lack. But others is not his problem. You know what his problem is? Verse 25. I hid thy talent in the earth. He went and hid it
and he did nothing. Now here's the socialist nightmare. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. The problem wasn't the master. The problem was the man was lazy. He wasn't careful with what he got. He didn't manage what little he got. Take a portion of it and try to invest it, make a little profit. He's slothful, lazy. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. If I am like you say I am, if I am a severe and an unreasonable man financially, if I was really that way, you would not take the money and hide it in the earth. You would have met me with tenfold. I'm not severe. And I'm not unreasonable. You're lazy. That's what he said. I'm sorry, friend. I made my mind I wasn't going to go tonight because I don't want to get into all this. I think there's a biblical way. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. And I think there's a biblical way for the poor to be helped, the really poor. But that, the number of really poor people in our country is very small. The greater percentage are wasters. Slothful. You know, I would like to think that if I was on some kind of money, financial handout from the government, that I would be motivated to take what little the government gave me and try to turn it into something for myself. And then not blame the government for not giving me enough. And then, the master was not the problem. The man was lazy. He wasn't careful with the talent he was given. And so as a result of that, in verse number 28, you talk about the socialist nightmare. This caps it off. The socialist already has a problem with the fact that some people have more money than others. He has a problem with that right now. He also has a problem with the fact that everybody has an opportunity to increase because he feels like he doesn't. It's not that he doesn't have the opportunity to increase. He's lazy. He's not careful. The socialist is croaking. And we're going to put him to death right now. Because in verse number 28, the Lord says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run over here to this five-talent man. Oh, by the way, the socialist is also having a nightmare because the master praised somebody for making a profit. We're going to go over here to this man that made 100% profit. And we're going to take from him and give to this guy that buried his in the earth. Now, that's if you're Obama. But that's not what the Lord said. Poor socialist. The Lord said, we're going to take away what you got. And we're going to give it not to the guy who doubled his two talents. We're going to give it to the guy who doubled his five. Because maybe if we take his money, then next month he may find some pop cans to pick up. He may find a lawnmower. Say, look, if you let me borrow your lawnmower for $5, I'll try to bring it back at the end of the day. If you let me use your lawnmower, I'm going to try to cut some lawns today, and I'll give you $5 off of every lawn that I cut. Maybe he'll go out and find a way to make a little money. And that's the only way you're going to help that guy. You're not going to help him by taking this guy's profit and this guy's profit and giving him more to waste. Giving him more to dig and bury in the earth. to squander. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if you can project, if that's the way this thing was set up, and that's the socialist mindset, we got to give them more. We got to give them more. We got to give them food. We got to give them clothes. We got to give them house. We got to give them car. We got to give, oh, they got to have a cell phone. Can't live without a cell phone. And so we just got to give them more and more and more. And this guy is busting his tail and he's sweating and working in spite of government regulations. And he's still turning a profit, 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 ah, profit, profit. It's a horrible thing, profit. We got to take your profit. We got to give it over here to him. After a while, that guy's bled dry. It's the only way you help people. Boy, that sounds harsh. I know. I understand preaching the truth. I understand what preaching the truth means. You sound harsh and cruel. You're saying, Pastor, take from the guy who's squandered his money. Take from him. Don't give him anything next month. That's right. And maybe he'll find a way to make something. I know that's about as popular yeah, as a screen door in a submarine. I know that. But all I did was read the verse. I just read the verse and yelled about it for a little while. If that's harsh, that's cruel. No, I don't think so. You know what? In most cases, well, not now. You take it from them now, they're going to come banging on your door to get it. We're so far into this now, we're. But when the day came, under FDR, whoever it was, when this government started taking from this guy and giving it to this guy who was squandering, I remember Lester Roloff. I heard him preach at Howells Anderson. He said, I was a little 8 or 9 year old boy, 10, 11 year old boy. He said, I didn't know a whole lot. But when I saw my daddy take his plow out to the field and plow his corn under and get money from the government for plowing his corn under, he said, I knew something wasn't right. Hello? I know this sounds harsh. I know it sounds cruel. I know it sounds mean. But people, our government, has grown a dependent society. And they need more. And more. And more, and more, and more, and more, until this guy and this guy have nothing. This parable is the socialist nightmare. Not everybody has the same amount of money. Everybody has some opportunity. The guy who turns a profit is a hero. Well, that's not what I read in the Tribune. Quit reading it. Well, that's not what the guy on the job told me. Quit listening to that goofball. He's not saved. He doesn't have a bit of biblical truth. The guy that made a profit is a hero. He's a help. Guy who's lazy, take it away. And he just might find something to do. You can say what you want. I admire these guys pushing these grocery baskets in Kankakee filled up with pop cans. I do. I admire them. Better than sitting on that couch eating potato chips and waiting for another check. Trying to get a basket, garbage, grocery cart full of. Now they stole the grocery cart. Amen. Watch those grocery carts, Brother Jeff. Amen. But at least they're out trying to make a little something. I my hat's off to them. Hey, God bless them, man. Digging in a garbage can for a pop can, at least he's doing something. Young people, we have a Bible that promotes a free market capitalistic economy. Not everybody's going to have the same amount of money. Get over it. Take the opportunity you've given to increase what you have. And if you can turn a profit, God's pleased. Now, if you become a greedy, miserly, gotta have it, stick it everywhere and keep it, God's unhappy with that. But if you turn a profit and you take that profit and turn it into more work that benefits more people, do something for a hospital or some work, and I'm talking generically now, do something for somebody else, you know what, you're a hero. It's called a capitalist free market economy. Oh, for the day we would return to that here in our country. We'd be so much better off. Let's stand. Thank you for listening tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us, please, to be squared away on issues in our day. This was a different type message tonight. And I don't know why you put it on my mind and my heart for this evening, but Lord, I had complete liberty to preach it. I pray that you'll please help our people. Lord, may we have a heart for the unfortunate, the poor. There's a place to be a help to them. And Father, there is no excuse for laziness, and you know that. We have created a lazy, dependent society. So help our young people to grow up with the mindset that's biblical, to earn what they get, to be careful, to manage, to budget, if possible, invest. And may they always be squared away on biblical truth. I pray in Jesus' name.